news broke yesterday that the singer Sir Cliff Richard will face no further action over allegations of historical sex abuse. Last year, I spoke to the broadcaster Paul Gambaccini, whose career was suddenly put on hold after being falsely accused of historical sexual abuse as part of Investigation U3. In the wake of the Jimmy Savile revelations, Paul was arrested over alleged historical sex offences against two teenage boys and spent a year on bail. This is what he had to say about his arrest and the handling of the investigation.
When I looked at the BBC website, and the police had opened a dedicated phone line and a dedicated website and invited the public to accuse celebrities of sexual perversion, saying, "You will be believed." And I thought, well, I've had it, because my picture had been on the front page of several newspapers on two different days, next to that of, and the name is going to have to be mentioned at some point in this, Jimmy Savile, because I'd been the first person to speak out against him even before the TV documentary that exposed him. So in this new British justice system, this mutation from the centuries-old objective, evidence-based system to the subjective, rumor and accusation-based system, in which you can't have evidence, so they only require people who agree. Well, if they could find two people to agree out of the tens of millions of people who've gotten to know my name over the course of 40 years of broadcasting, then I've had it. Of course, you then waste energy thinking, did I ever have a bad date? Is there someone who has a grudge against me? But in the end, it turns out it's someone you never knew.
You're an incredibly intelligent guy, right? But it's not the smartest things you know to say, to put into the public domain, that you thought that they might visit you, because there's a hint in that for those people who do not believe that you were innocent, and you are innocent, and you have always been innocent, but you know there's a hint. You expected them, so they will put two and two together with that. Why are you saying it out loud?
Oh, but I did not say that I feared arrest before I was arrested.
No, but you're saying it now.
Yeah, but I'm trying to tell the honest, true story of what happened. You see, the reason I'm saying this is because the police conduct was so below the standard of what is to be expected in a just society. They had launched an operation that was results-oriented rather than justice-oriented. The result was announced in advance. We are going to round up the pervs, celebrities from the 1970s. Well, this is, if you think about it for more than 3 seconds, pretty random. How about footballers from the 60s or bankers from the 80s? Sexual perversion occurs across professions. And so they over-arrested. Quite simple.
What did they do when they came into your house?
Well, they stream around and they gathered sackloads of materials, which they took for 14 months. I very naively thought they might be back by Christmas. Ha ha. Goodbye to 2 iMacs and my iPhone. But nonetheless, they took away 38 years of my diaries and phone books.
And where are you? Where are you asked to sit in your own home? Or what happens when they walk into your own home? What do they do to you?
I was allowed to press my orange juice and heat up my croissant before they took me away. I was not allowed to shave, but I was allowed to have my little breakfast because they said you wouldn't like the food in the canteen. And I was allowed to go to the toilet, which is a good thing, because when I was kept in the cell, there was no toilet roll. I just give that as a detail because Jim Davidson wrote that in his book as well. When I was reading Davidson's book, I thought, my God, that happened to me too. you never know how your stories are going to jibe.
Can I take you back to when you were in the police station?
Oh, yeah, sure.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there. Did you think your world was going to fall apart forever?
You don't think beyond the minute, to be honest, because what you're experiencing is unprecedented in your life. And it's also so you know it's ludicrous, whatever they think.
So what do they ask you in your first interview? Do they present the evidence? Do they present names? What do they do?
Well, what happens is when your solicitor arrives, they give him the disclosure sheet, as it's called, which lists what you're accused of, and you are allowed to read it. And that's when I read this list of things. which could be summed up in one sentence. I was accused of having sex with two males I've never known in the decade before I even started having same-sex relations. I mean, that's the killer. So much for where were you on the evening of April 23rd. I was accused not only on the wrong day, not only in the wrong year, the Metropolitan Police were in the wrong decade. Really doesn't build confidence. The police don't seem to realize that when they ask people to condemn celebrities, they will include in that number a number of possible accusers who have never known the person. And this is why we have recently had this incredible string of boners by the police and the Crown Prosecution Service, because they've taken up the cause of people who never knew the people they're accusing. Now, I say to all people who are genuine victims or representatives of organizations who champion genuine victims, you know I am on your side and always have been. I'm talking about this other class of wrong people which has been created by the witch hunt. It may be smaller, it's nonetheless equally real, and those are the falsely accused.
Paul Gambaccini talking to me last year. The Sir Cliff Richard case has reignited yet again the row surrounding the issue of anonymity. Should defendants in sexual offence cases have their identities protected unless they are found guilty? Does the stigma stay with them regardless of the outcome? And could anonymity in some cases prevent further victims coming forward? That's the other side of the debate. The former teacher, Simon Waugh, who himself was cleared of sexual abuse, is with us this morning. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Adrian Pels. Good morning, Adrian.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, Simon, you know this only too well. You had an accusation made against you. You were cleared. What stigma does it leave?
Well, it's like having been branded indelibly on your forehead. In the, I think it was the 18th century, didn't they used to brand criminals? Now, of course, with search engines, I'm forever branded. If people put my name into the internet, whereas prior to my arrest, they would have been reading about my accomplishments, the first page now all relates to some preposterous allegation by a couple of friends, rather like Paul Gambaccini, who I knew nothing about. They didn't know me. They only knew me from seeing me on television and hearing me on the radio and talking about my wealth. That is all they had on me. And the very first thing, Stephen, I said in the police station, having been arrested at 7:15 in the morning, about the first day of the Christmas holidays, "You are a PE teacher." I said, "No, I'm not." "Well, you were a PE teacher." "No, I wasn't. I've never taught PE in my life. I've never taught 11-year-olds in my life, Stephen. I'm a secondary school teacher." So basically, it should have all stopped there and then. However, I was made to wait 672 days before being immediately cleared. And it was palpably clear from the evidence, what was said, that they were lying. Now, there'd be no comeback on them. They have kept their anonymity while my life was temporarily trashed. I lost my home. I lost my community. I lost my career. I lost my peace of mind, a sizable chunk of money, and my reputation. I had my home ransacked in front of me. They barged past me as they came in through my kitchen door, nearly knocking me over. I was escorted upstairs without so much as a cup of coffee. I was supervised as I was washing. I was then told to dress and watched as I was dressing, put in the back of a police car and taken to the local police station, where I stayed, I have to tell you, for 12 hours. So it's a nightmare experience. And I just concur with what Paul Gambaccini said. We consider ourselves, as a society, more sophisticated than a number of less developed countries. But we're, in some ways, we're just as cruel. And the day British justice was forever tarnished was the day they allowed similar allegation evidence as opposed to similar fact evidence into a court of law. Now we've opened the door with these massive amounts of cash that we offer people as a result of making allegations.
And yet, Adrian Peltz, the counter-argument is, look what happened in the cases where the naming of a person in the media encourages other victims to come forward.
Well, precisely. I think, you know...
But actually, we probably shouldn't go into that too, because there are active cases.
Yeah, and, you know, the previous speakers, comments, it is appalling, but I think that highlights actually a far wider problem with the indefinite police bail system and the Crown Prosecution Service and the way that we collect evidence. I think that what we have to remember is that British justice has a great tradition of being open and transparent. And that is something that we should be incredibly proud of. And yes, sometimes some people get caught out and unfortunately suffer because of it. But I don't really see why we should treat defendants of sexual violence any different to we would treat those who've committed other crimes. So yes, there is a certain stigma that comes with, being accused of a sex crime, but there's a stigma that comes with any kind of accusation against a person. And it is up to the British courts to determine whether or not somebody is
guilty. But how do these cases take so long to tell someone there's no case to answer? Look at Cliff Richard, we're talking 2 years.
Precisely, and that is a far wider problem. It's not the fact that Cliff Richard was named, it's the fact that it takes such a long time.
Well, but should he have been named? Because that's part of the debate we're having this morning, isn't it? The BBC flew a helicopter over his house and televised the raid. Now, is it a legitimate news story? You could argue, Simon Moore, that when one of the most famous pop singers in the world is being raided by the police, that's a story.
But it is.
Simon?
Go ahead.
But you're absolutely trashing Sir Cliff's reputation just because he happens to be famous. He's famous because he's a fantastic entertainer. He has proven throughout his life that he's lived an altruistic life. He's given money to charity. And
okay, none of that. I mean, yes, you can be very altruistic, and I think Jimmy Savile is a wonderful example of how you can be incredibly altruistic. But
you can't put Sir Cliff
one
Richard.
Of the most sexual deviant people in the world. It is still up to the police to investigate somebody.
Let me finish.
How the media chooses to respond to that is a different debate. The fact that people were flying helicopters over him and televising it, that is a totally different debate. And that is something that in the Leveson inquiry was brought up.
Okay, Simon?
I just want to ask, would you say that the police siding with the complainant, siding with the Crown Prosecution Service as an adversarial team, should set about their investigations from the point of view the person we've arrested is guilty, and we're now going to advertise for more people to come forward to whom we'll listen to sympathetically. In fact, we'll encourage them to make further allegations. Do you think that's a fair way of investigating? And in the meantime, the person has his name in the media and just has to endure sometimes, in my case, 672 days of hell just because somebody has made an allegation that has absolutely no substance to it.
Okay, I mean, I think that we can look at this in two parts. So there is the issue that it took 600 days for your case to be resolved, and that sounds like it's a far bigger problem, and that's a problem that stretches across all cases. I mean, I think it's interesting that you say that the police side with the victims or the people making the allegations. The police don't. The police's job is there. They are there to collect information.
Are you joking?
Are you joking?
I don't know why I'm having this. If you're going
to
say to me the police are impartial on these cases, I'm afraid there's no point in having the discussion.
Hold on. We'll continue this and give you space to speak, Simon, after the 10 o'clock news. Simon Moore, the former teacher who was himself cleared of sexual abuse, is explaining to us this morning the impact that it has when you are named in this way. And the commentary Adrian Peltz is with us today. We're doing this, of course, because the Sir Cliff Richard case has been very much on the public agenda over the last couple of years. And yesterday he was told he had no case to answer after 2 years after the police raided his home. Simon Waugh, I wanted to give you space and time to expand on what you were saying before the news.
I think the police, of course, should investigate independently of the complainant, independently of the Crown Prosecution Service, and independently of the defence team. However, they don't. Everybody knows, particularly with these historical cases, which are quite difficult to investigate, as you'd imagine, they side with the CPS. They more than support the complainant. They almost encourage, they almost become their advocate. And they, and with this, what we call sample dipping, this trawling, what they do is they put the name out, and the more your name is known in houses to begin with, the more vulnerable you are. And what they do is they advertise and they say, this person's been arrested, and you immediately get these PPI lawyers stepping in. You know, we can support you, no win, no fee, and you come to us, and we'll make sure that you get adequate compensation at the end of it all. Now, can I tell you, Stephen, this compensation has to be stopped. It is preposterous handing vast quantities of cash to any malicious opportunist, and there are many out there who claim to have been abused. Now, if someone has been genuinely abused, they will be satisfied that their abuser is taken to court and sent to prison. And any monies should go to the medical support, the medical professional.
There will be people who have been abused who will not have, for example, and there will be many reasons why they're entitled to compensation. Their abuse will have devastated their lives to such an extent that they'll never be able to work again. They may need psychological counselling.
Come on.
If you're entitled to compensation in life for anything, you're very much entitled to it if you've been abused,
precisely,
for goodness sake.
But just a minute. We're talking abuse. This is a wide-ranging term. If you're talking about being seriously raped or something, then yes,
no,
I can
Simon,
deal with
you
that.
Don't get to determine how victims should behave. Abuse is abuse, Simon.
It's dangerous when we get into a degree of abuse. Abuse is abuse, isn't it? Adrian Pelz.
I appreciate that Simon has gone through a traumatic event, but let's be honest. The conviction rates for people who have raped and sexually abused other people is so incredibly low. And the police do have a duty to encourage other victims and people with evidence to come forward. And until there is a better way to do that, making the accused names public is the only way that we have. And let's be honest, we've tried this between 1976 and 1988. The defendants were given anonymity. And unfortunately, it's the press people coming forward. There is absolutely no way that you can get other victims to come forward with information unless they know that there is a case ongoing. And we saw that with Jimmy Savile, and we have seen it with various other cases, and it works. It absolutely works. It works in fraud investigations, it works in violent robberies, and it works in crimes revolving around sexual abuse. Why should rapists be given special treatment? Why? Why should rapists be given any kind of special
beyond
treatment?
Someone accused of murder, beyond someone accused of other heinous crimes, Simon?
Exactly. Why do they get to be in a special box where nobody will ever know that they have done something?
Because I guess, Adrian, the answer is, some people might say, because there's a particular stigma associated with sexual crime.
Well, as there should be, you know, as there should be. But there's a stigma associated with any kind of crime. You can't say that people who have perpetrated that kind of crime should get any kind of special treatment, because then you're saying that they are actually victims themselves.
If you've been accused of a crime, the untutored mob on the internet make no difference. They treat anybody who's been accused as though they've been in a court of law and found guilty. So you have to put up with, when you're feeling at your lowest, when you've had everything taken away from you, you have a barrage of insults sent to you, encouraging you to commit suicide. They'd come and dig a hole for you to be buried in, and they'd put the earth in themselves. Don't pay for an undertaker. We'll come and do it free of charge. This is someone who's just been accused of something. Do you think that is right in a civilized society?
Well, I think what's right in a civilized society is having a transparent justice system.
So you don't mind then that now we have the internet and search engines, it doesn't really matter then if someone, on the basis of some fantasist that happened to me, complete fantasist who'd never met me, who had nothing to do with me, I had my life trashed and I was being encouraged day after day to commit suicide. You think the system is the fairest that there is?
I don't think the system is the fairest it is. In fact,
I'm saying anonymity.
Simon, I think the system failed victims entirely, and you are a very, very small minority who, unfortunately,
it doesn't really matter. Dad, because I'm white, middle class, I'm quite rich, I'm intelligent. No one ever needs to worry about me. You can look after yourself, Simon. That's the message I got through my 2 years on bail.
I think the message is that we need to have some kind of reforms done to the bail systems. And it is entirely right that you're upset that it took so long for your case to be dealt with.
Not
but
just that.
Let's be clear, Simon, that we live in a time when people do get away with sexual crimes at an astonishing rate. And because of the nature of it, because of the power dynamic where victims are made to feel like they cannot ever go to the police.
They don't feel that any longer, I can tell you that.
Well, no,
they're almost encouraged
actually,
to, particularly if you put compensation at the end of it.
No, the facts actually disagree with what you're saying. You know, we do know, and Women's Aid, Victims Justice, charities would confirm what I'm saying, that we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg here. There are millions of people who are suffering in silence and have been victims of sexual assaults and crimes.
You can
never come forward.
You can